He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good job, guys. I'm glad you still remember. You're still with me. You know, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the things that we get to experience as a church. I'm thankful for getting to experience the fullness of Christ's promises from Scripture. And I'm thankful that Jesus came to this earth for us. Let's pray. As we celebrate Easter, Jesus, I pray that you would be with us, that you would encourage us, that you would lift us up, that you would let us focus fully on you. And as we talked about on Good Friday, that we would focus to the cross and focus on you, Jesus, and we wouldn't miss it. That we would be excited and know your good works and your promises and your benefits in our lives. So thank you, Jesus. Be with us. Soften hearts, Father. And God, we thank you for the people that committed their life to you on our Good Friday service. And we thank you for those that are here listening today and watching today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it's Easter Sunday. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Guys, you got to keep up with me on that, okay? So I would encourage you once again to leave that comment, he is risen indeed, when I say it. Keep interactive with me. We've got somebody watching the computers, and we want to interact with you through service. So if you see something or hear something, give us an amen. What a week we've had. So let me quickly give you a quick recap of the week we've had, okay? Last Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday. And today, we are celebrating the fact that he is risen. There's a lot of stuff that happened between then and today, in the life of the church and in the life of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And by today, I mean Sunday, not April, whatever day it is today. I'm talking about that 7-day span from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So let's think about this week for a second, will you? On Monday, Monday started the week out after Palm Sunday, after Jesus and his triumphant return into Jerusalem, where people were singing and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Monday, Jerusalem, Jesus went into the temple and he clears it of these people who were selling goods and gambling and doing things. We read this in Matthew 21, 12 and 13. And this really shakes people up. This shakes the religious, if you can see my air quotes, people up. The religious people get upset and angry at Jesus. If we read, Scripture says, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. They made it a den of robbers, a den of thieves, of coin collectors, of changers, of gamblers. And if we keep reading that chapter 21 of Matthew, verses 14 to 16, we keep reading beyond where we just were, and it says, this is what really probably got the religious people upset. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. They got ticked off. I'm glad that those guys got ticked off. And they said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise? Boy, they must have just got cheesed right off, right? They must have really been stewing. I know sometimes I make some people stew, and that's okay. So then we had, after Monday, we got, what's the next day of the week? We got Tuesday, right? And we're not going to sing happy days. Monday, Tuesday, happy days. No, this is something different. Tuesday, what happened? We had Jesus' authority getting challenged. In Matthew 21, 23 to 27, we read that. Then we see in Matthew 12, 20 to 26, the Greeks asking to see and meet with Jesus and talk to him. We have the story that we talked about on Good Friday that I shared, where Jesus teaches and confronts Jewish leaders, as well as how he ministers to this prostitute lady and forgives her of her sins. And we also see the betrayer, Judas, betray Jesus. And we read about that in Matthew 26, 14 to 16, where he just makes this decision. He goes and meets with the priests. So Tuesdays, you know, it's not crazy, but it's a busy day still. We move on to Wednesday. And Wednesday, there's not a lot written about Wednesday, really. All we know is that Jesus sort of hangs out in Bethany with the disciples. He probably spends some time teaching them. But I believe that on Wednesday, Jesus really just spent some time chilling. He spent some time relaxing. He spent some time preparing. He needed his energy. He had a rough couple days coming up. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But he had some rough days. So I think he just kind of relaxed. And then we jump to Thursday. Now on Thursday, this is where the plot twists start happening. This is where we start to see the wheels in motion on this history story that we have. And we start with Jesus' Last Supper is what we're going to talk about first, which is why we participate in communion, which we're going to participate in together here in a few moments. And then Jesus speaks to the disciples in the upper room in John 13, chapter 13 to 17. And then Jesus prays and then later sweats blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus has so many prayers that he prays right now. At this point, in John 17, 1 to 5, we read about how Jesus prays for himself. And then in John 17, 6 to 19, we read about how Jesus prays for his disciples. And then we read in John 17, 20 to 26, Jesus prays for us. He prays for the future believers. He prays for me. He prays for you. You know what? I love getting prayed for, but I really love to know that Jesus prayed for me. He prayed for me. He prayed for you. That's encouraging. But then we keep reading, and then it says, and then Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and prays so hard that he sweats blood. That's in the history books, that he sweat blood. That's how hard he was praying and just meditating and spending time. And to finish it all off, to finish this Thursday off, Jesus is betrayed by his friend Judas, one of the 12. And he's arrested by these Jewish priests and authorities in the church, the religious guys, as we talked about on Good Friday. But I guess you really think about it, and his Thursday's not really done. But as I would account for it, Thursday's pretty done. Now, Thursday late night, Friday early morning, we start rolling into some serious stuff happening here. Because on Friday, Jesus is tried first by the Jewish authorities and then by the Roman authorities. So I want to spend some time reading this here. Jesus is questioned and challenged by the Jewish authorities through the night of Thursday. And if we read here, and if you have your Bible, great, turn to Matthew 26, and that's where we're going to start. If you don't have your Bible, go get your Bible. You're at home. You can't make the excuse, well, I forgot at home. It's in the car. You're at home. Go get it. So Matthew 26, 57 to 68, it says, then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest. When the scribes and elders had gathered, and Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death, but they found none. There was nothing. They had nothing on him. Nothing. He was an innocent man. Now I'm just looking where I was. Though many false witnesses came forward, at last two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." And then they spit on his face and struck him and slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. What is it that struck you? Or who is it that struck you?" Every time I read that, I always say, "What? Who is it that struck you?" They're taunting him. You know, and it sickens me to read this, and it's, oh, so sad. So sad. These guys and their ego. And after this point, they take Jesus and they bring him to the Roman authorities, the people that actually had authority over the land at that point in time. And this is what we read in Matthew 27, verse 11 to 23. It says, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus said, 'You have said so.' But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he gave them no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had the then notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?' For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, 'Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream.' Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd, they stirred up the crowd, to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor again said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' And Pilate said to them, 'Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?' And they said to him, 'Let him be crucified.'" So in other words, crucify him. And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shout even the more, "Let him be crucified. Crucify him." Pilate knew that there was no real charge, but he basically handed him over to be beaten. As we read on, when we talk about Jesus being beaten and then crucified. And this is, just continue on reading, Matthew 27, 24 to 44. And it says, "So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and he washed his hand of the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself.' And all the people answered, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' And then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him and mocking, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him in the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his old clothes and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found this man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled the man to carry the cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him a wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments and among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over the head they put the charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then two of the robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself.' And saying, 'If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others, he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from that cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him.' For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." Jesus is crucified, and they're just mocking him. Not a very good group of people. Now, if we keep reading in Matthew 27, 45 to 66, where Jesus is buried. Sorry. Now, from the sixth hour was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani. And that means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm going to pause there and say, I should not learn other languages because my tongue does not work that way. Let's keep reading. My God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling to Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to drink. But the other said, wait, let's see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, who had died, were raised up. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. There were many witnesses of this. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And there were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. And he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered the body be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen, shroud, and laid it in his own tomb, which had been cut into the rock. And he rolled a great stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite of the tomb. And the next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples go and steal him and tell people that he is risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to him, You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. It's quite the story of a man who is both fully God and fully man, his death and his burial. He bore it all for us. And if we keep going to the next day of Saturday, which was their Sabbath, nothing happened with Jesus. Many believe that some of the followers of Christ had scattered or went to hide because they were afraid that they would be next. They weren't sure what was going to happen because this man that they had followed for so long was just murdered. But then we had Sunday. And like that video I told you guys to watch on Good Friday, it was Friday, but Sunday was a-coming. Sunday was here. And Sunday meant that things were going to change, didn't they? Sunday was the new day. And it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. See, there are many accounts of this in history. Last year, we went through the historical recollection of Jesus and the proof, the historical proof that a man named Jesus was crucified and rose again. There was historical proof of the acts and the visions or the sightings of Jesus. And it was captured. And we talked about that at length. There's many accounts in Scripture that talk about this, but I want to read today again and just keep going through Matthew. So Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10. And it says, Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. They fell. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." Amen. He is risen. He is not here. Just like this church right now is empty, but except for a few of us in this building, the tomb is empty. The tomb was empty on that resurrection Sunday. The tomb is still empty. Amen. That should be something you should be clapping at home. You should be cheering, because that is exciting good news. The tomb is empty. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly. I guess they departed quickly. I'm guessing they're pretty excited. A little scared, but pretty excited. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." They're going to see me. We're going to connect and we're going to celebrate. And then shortly after this, Jesus tells his disciples to go and share the good news. And we get this great commission in Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth had been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you.'" That's doing everything I taught you to do. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So this is a call for the disciples who were to make more disciples, to make more disciples, to eventually we become disciples who make more disciples. That's our call from Jesus. This is your call to join Jesus too, in mission and vision and direction, to give you the opportunity to worship him. He is good. So what I want to do this morning with you, if it's okay, is I want to invite you, if you aren't part of this vision and this mission that Jesus has given us, I'm inviting you to become a believer. I'm inviting you to cross that line of faith and join Jesus' team. And if you've already crossed that line at some point and you want to pray that prayer again, just to rededicate your life to Christ this morning, I want you to have that opportunity. I want you to get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're tired of missing Jesus, if you're trying to find your place, if you want to know, all you got to do is repeat this prayer after me to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to cross that line and make him your best friend. So would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you that you died in my place, Jesus. I ask you to forgive my sin and come into my life. Please direct me, Jesus. Connect me to you and allow me to learn more about you. Connect me with people that will help me know you better. Thank you, God, for your son, Jesus, who gives me eternal life through his death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That should be something to celebrate today. Now, I'm going to ask, before we go on with communion, here's what I'm going to ask. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, or if you rededicated your life today, contact me at the church. Give me a call. The church's phone number is 306-882-2453, or email me at the church, lead, L-E-A-D, at rosetownchurch.ca, and I'd love to connect with you. If you're watching on Facebook, send a message to me on Facebook or on YouTube. If you want to shout it out and celebrate and let others know that you've just done this, put it in the comments. It's up to you how much you want to share this at this point, but I want to connect with you. I would love to get together with you and talk to you about this. I'd love to give you a Bible and just encourage you. So be blessed if you did that this morning. And that really brings us to this whole purpose. And we're going to pray, we're going to talk about some scripture here. And then we're gonna pray together and give everybody an opportunity to reconcile any relationship issues that they may have. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 34, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread." That would be the night that Judas betrayed him. That would be the Lord's Supper. "The night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" That's why we do communion, because it's our declaration of the Lord's death and his resurrection. It's the remembrance of what he did for us on that cross. That's why we celebrate together. This isn't a ritual. This is a celebration. When you go to a wedding and people are drinking wine, they're celebrating. We're drinking, well, grape juice, but we're celebrating. We're celebrating Jesus' death and his resurrection for us, for me, for you. Amen? Amen. Therefore, first off, and we're supposed to do that till he comes back. And then we keep reading. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat the bread, and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment on himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." So that's why we just gave the opportunity to become a believer, to become a Christian. If after all that you're like, "Oh, I didn't know I needed to do that," pause this, rewind it, let's say the prayer together. If you're ready to keep going, great. But beyond that, he tells us to check ourselves and to make sure we're in right relationship with our brothers, sisters, the church, other church members. We need to be in right relationship with each other. We need to check our relationships. And I want to give you an opportunity here to take a moment and just check your relationship. And if you need to make some calls, pause our sermon right now and go make some calls. Pause me. Take the time that you need. I'm going to give you that time. And I hope you took it. So if you're a new believer, you can now participate in communion with us together. So we're going to read Matthew 26, 26 to 28. And it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Let's participate in communion together. Jesus, we thank you for coming to this earth and for dying for our sins. Jesus, we thank you for being beaten for us, for taking the punishment that we couldn't take, for bearing our burdens. Thank you, Jesus, that your word tells us that by your stripes we are healed and whole. And thank you, Jesus, that that healing and wholeness came from the cross and by the act of the cross. So Jesus, be with us as we partake in this bread. Encourage us and build us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's partake together. And we keep reading, and it says, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Guys, this blood, juice, is for the covenant. This is part of the contract. This is part of the kingdom contract, let's call it, that we enter in with Jesus when we become believers. This blood washes us white as snow, spiritually speaking. And as we read in 1 Corinthians, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And we need to, as we drink it, we need to remember him and his sacrifices. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your blood that washes us white as snow. Jesus, we thank you that you willingly sacrificed yourself for us. That you stepped forward, Jesus, and you said, I am the one. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for spilling your blood for us to have life. Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. So as you go today, I want to remind you something. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Right? He is risen. And because he is risen, we have an opportunity to celebrate the life that he gives us. And I pray that you do celebrate the life. When people pass away, when believers pass away, we have a celebration of life. Well, because Jesus died and rose again, we can celebrate life. We can celebrate his life, and we can celebrate the life that he gives us. Amen? Let's pray, and I'm going to send you on your way, and you guys can have your ham. You can fellowship. You can pray for each other. You can do whatever you want, but we can do it knowing that he is risen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. We are so happy to know that you are risen and that you give us life and life to the fullest. Father, thank you for the promises of your word. And I thank you that we can stand and live in those promises and we can declare them over our life. Every promise of Scripture is for us. So Jesus, we thank you. I thank you for those that gave their heart to you today. And Father, I pray that I'll have an opportunity to connect with them. God, I thank you for this church and I thank you for the celebration we get to have that you sent your son Jesus for us and that he is risen. He's alive. He is alive. And I thank you for all you do for us, and I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Have a great day, guys. God bless.